Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, editor of PC. I'm pleased to be joined by Jason Cook, director of operations with Cardinal Health, a drug wholesaler. Among various topics on today's agenda, he'll be discussing the importance of being prepared for weather-related complications, including keys to effectively communicating with customers. Jason, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show today. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to be here and share some insight and just see what we see across the industry today.
First things first, Jason, for the listeners, could you describe the importance of having a comprehensive contingency plan, especially even before weather-related disruptions began? How crucial is that idea?
Having a contingency plan is critical, especially in the industry that we are in today. And you think about some of the events that have taken place over just the last 2 to 3 years, but preparing for these scenarios, that's at the very core of what we do here as a 3PL. The benefit that we have is we have the ability to tap into the experience and the resources of an array of different manufacturers that we work with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, committing the time and the resources to building and to testing and to reassessing these contingency plans, that's really a critical priority to our business each year. You never really know when a disruption may occur. So taking that time to prepare on the front end is just extremely critical to operations. In regards to weather-related disruptions, it really comes down to a monitoring system for inclement weather systems to be popping up more and more across the country. Our team is constantly monitoring these weather forecasts to understand what's going on, what can we be prepared for, what to look out for, what does history show us. It's really about having the what-ifs, the who's, the what's, and really preparing for when those events do take place, you can really react and not have a downstream impact to the patient.
That makes total sense. And you mentioned preparing. Now, once you do prepare in those aspects that you mentioned, let's look at rather the post-disaster aspect. What would you say needs to be done by pharma companies in order to not only create a stronger preparation sort of strategy for next time, but to also have customers and patients feel seen and included throughout the process? Because I think that's a vital key that everyone needs to be aware of as well.
I think the most powerful way to create the most effective strategy is knowing your customer, right? And it's important to keep that bridge open, that communication, to know, kind of going back to the last question, the who's and the what's. For your customer in particular, how much inventory do they have? What's critical that needs to be sent? What can you take risk on? What maybe can you not take risk on? The more knowledge you have about that particular customer, their inventory levels, and what capabilities do they have in specific scenarios? You know, I think it's important to kind of talk through those. And ultimately, it's going to put you in a better place to pivot when that disruption takes place. You know, for instance, one of my customers in the Northeast more suited to have the tools to remove snow or ice and maybe be able to get from point A to point B a lot easier than somebody in Atlanta, for instance, right? Where the preparation isn't quite what it is in the Northeast. They're not accustomed to seeing a lot of snow or ice and candidly don't have the same tools that they have in the Northeast. So it's really about knowing each one of your specific customers. You know, and there's nothing with setting up a call to talk about contingency, right? And something, again, that is critical to our business, we do that twice a year. Every 6 months, we go through, hey, in this worst-case scenario, what is your role in this, and what is my role in this? And that way, it's ultimately about not taking the time and the back and forth and the decision-making when that disruption does occur, but already knowing what that particular customer needs from you and how each of you can benefit and work together and have everything in place to prepare when that time does happen. You can just immediately react versus trying to do all the planning past that. So post-disaster, it's about, okay, what did we learn from this? Let's look at that and make a checklist, if you will, right? I don't think it's any secret. In a lot of industries, there's checklists for a reason, not because, hey, we need something to keep us aligned. But when these disasters happen, we need the very specifics, the high level, hey, check this, check that, check that. You know, we fly in airplanes every single day. And each one of those pilots, they're very familiar with those airplanes, but they have a checklist before they take off to make sure those critical needs are met. And it's no different for our industry, right? The critical need that we need to meet is that patient. And what are those bullet points? What are the things that we need to know about post-disaster that will help us prepare for when it ultimately comes again?
And that's a good point, right? Being sure you don't have to really think about all of this in the actual moment, because we all know, God forbid, if something were to happen in that case, your mind is kind of just racing at a million miles per hour. You're not going to really have the full opportunity to really gather your thoughts. And I know you got into it, Jason, in terms of creating a checklist and having kind of this like a step-by-step in order to be ahead of the curve. But if you could dive into anything else related to that, what kind of items would you recommend for just keeping ahead of the game and keeping your values aligned, and just to make sure that this doesn't happen? How can you stay on that task?
I think if I had to kind of summarize some of the items that we talked about above, I think it really comes down to two critical pieces. It's communication and knowing your customer. I've once heard that logistics is defined as the process of planning and executing efficient transportations from one point to the other. I think that when disruptions across our country occur, it's critical that we have those two elements in place. And the good thing about technology and where we're at today, as a result of what we've gone through the last couple of years, you know, when there was a time 3 years ago, we weren't traveling, right? We were hunkered down at home and we were having trouble communicating face to face, especially. And now we have these great tools out there that help us do that. I think it's critical to have those meetings, you know, depending on the nature of the drug and what that indication is for. You know, it might make sense to have it on a quarterly basis. But, you know, I think at least annually, it's important to talk to your customers and just set up a call specific to continuity, right? Contingency planning in the case of what if. I think gone are the days of, well, it's probably not going to happen to me, right? I think we've seen some crazy weather patterns over the last 3 years, especially. We had the winter storm Uri come across our nation and shut down much of the Southeast for about a week, which obviously backlogged a lot. We had a lot of importing issues where we were backlogged and products getting to where we need. The supply chain was just in constraint, right? We were at a max where things just weren't clicking on all cylinders like before. And it's really helped us kind of think outside the box as to what other tools are out there. And that's the last question you had, Nico, around like post-disaster. Those are things that have come from the situations that we were put into. You can never really plan for everything, but you can, I guess, fortunate but unfortunate. You know, we've seen a lot of things over the last few years that we haven't seen historically. And that's really helped us plan for the future and what to look out for, right? And going back to your question around how can we be more effective in that, I think it's crucial to have a call set up or a meeting set up to talk through just continuity, what to happen. In the case I brought up before, hey, we know that you could have 20 inches of snow up here at your location. What can we do to prepare for that to make sure that the customer gets what they need, right? The patient gets the drug that they need, because unfortunately, in most cases, when patients need some of these drugs, it's not going to be pending Mother Nature's approval, right? It's going to happen at a lot of times, worst case scenario, and we really have to be prepared for that. So communication, use the tools that we have out there. You have Zoom, you have Teams, you have WebEx, you have all these different tools that if you can't get to the site, and if you can't meet face to face, you can leverage those pieces of technology to help communicate on the what's and the what ifs, and develop a, you know, you don't want to make it too critical of a checklist, because you don't want to get lost in that and you're reacting. So you want to have just bullet points on what it is that you need to really hone in on. But again, knowing the customer also is a critical piece of that, right? You can only communicate as good as the knowledge that you have. So it's key in knowing, again, about how much inventory do you normally keep? Is it 14 to 21 days, or is it a just-in-time model? What's the critical nature of the product? Is it going to be scheduled for a specific patient procedure? You know, those things are critical in knowing how to react. And, you know, real-time communication has to be key, because, you know, I mentioned earlier about logistics and all the intricate parts that are moving along. One tidbit of information can really be the deal break on preparing for and making sure that it gets to where it needs to go. You think about planning for contingency, and I'll go back to when most likely we were all children and we learned that, hey, if I catch on fire, there's three critical steps that I follow, right? It's It's stop, drop, and roll. They're just ingrained to our subconscious. And I think it should be no different in reacting to those situations when we're in the industry that we're in. And ultimately, there's a patient that needs something from us. So kind of just honing in on those two pieces of advice there, it's all about communicating for a specific need, that contingency plan, you know, making it a part of your annual business review or your quarterly business review. And, you know, it's one of those things that's just as important as my metrics or, you know, whatever else that we're focusing on. It really has to be intentional that we talk about continuity and contingency. And then ultimately knowing your customer to be able to react in those situations and mitigate the back and forth.
Thanks for sharing that, Jason. And you started getting into it, obviously, technology is such a broad and vague term, but you mentioned early on at the top of the recording, the effectiveness of these types of monitoring technology and things like that. How far out can you monitor these storms and how far in advance and how helpful are they in kind of predicting these weather disasters, so to speak?
Technology is one of those things that, you know, is ever evolving, right? It's constantly getting better. And I think back to about 10 years ago and some of the technology we have specific to weather patterns, where fast forward today, you know, you can pretty much have the weather channel at the touch of your fingertips on a mobile device or, you know, your iPad or your computer. And I think that it's crucial in leveraging your partnerships as well. Specifically, we work with the carriers a lot in looking at and leveraging their tools, right? And I think that there's many tools that you can look at to monitor weather. Departments of transportation that you can have an insight to road closures. You have a lot of, whether it be local or the National Weather Service, that helps really plan on hurricanes, and they can monitor that and kind of forecast on where they're going to make landfall. And for severe weather that predominantly moves from the west to the east when it comes and brings, whether it be rainstorms or tornadoes or anything like that, I think that there's an opportunity there for us to continue to learn from historical weather patterns and see how it's evolving today. And fortunately, by utilizing some of the tools like the Weather Channel, we can help understand, hey, this is the forecasted path for, let's just use a hurricane, right? We happen to be in hurricane season. And we're doing a lot of weather monitoring right now specific to hurricanes in Florida, right? We had one that just recently crossed over the Tampa area in Florida. And for us, you don't have the exact location, but you do have a pretty big window of, hey, we know it's going to hit somewhere between here and here. And that really helps us leverage not only the model that we see in the Weather Channel, but hey, from our partners in the parcel service, are you guys moving to these specific airports? If you're not, how can we leverage another carrier? Who can drive there if you can't fly there? If you can't drive there, then can you fly there, right? So there's a lot of areas that we can kind of plan proactively to say, hey, we know from Monday to Wednesday, these airports are going to be shut down. And we know that these roads can potentially be closed. But here is the administrating facilities. Here are the patients that we need to reach. And here is a couple of couriers lined up that can take these packages to these facilities in case of a worst case scenario. And I think that, again, it's really, you have that technology at the touch of your fingertips in today's world. And you also have a lot of partners that you can leverage to say, hey, I'm seeing this. What are you guys seeing? And you can learn off of that to say, well, I know that carrier A is not able to get it here, but carrier B has a solution through another network where they can make it happen. Maybe it's not a 53-foot truck, but it's more of a sprinter van. There's so many different areas of opportunity there that technology really helps us hone in on. And again, we kind of talked about Zoom and Teams and all that, but it also helps us do real-time communication. I think it's critical for us to know, hey, we see it on the Weather Channel, but when we have some boots on the ground, so to say, in those areas, it really helps us say, well, I just spoke with my contact right off the beach of Tampa. We can't go in there. We're going to have to think about plan B. So the real-time communication and the models that we have, that really helps us kind of plan for predicting and analyzing what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and candidly, what risk we can take and what we can't take.
Definitely. Well, Jason, thank you so much for taking the time today to kind of break it down for the listeners. I'm sure they'll get a lot of benefit from what you've shared today and for emergency preparedness. Very helpful. And yeah, we really appreciate you sharing your knowledge. So thank you so much for coming on once again.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And for all you listeners, be sure to stay in the loop of our latest updates via our website at pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or on our SoundCloud page. Take care, everyone.